Right now, as the top prosecutor for the county, Cook County, State's Attorney Anita Alvarez is always on the hot seat. And that comes with the territory, whether it be prosecuting police officers, creating new policies and strategies, or answering to critics in the media. Alvarez has a truly thankless job. And so to talk about that thankless job, she joins me now here on The Download. Anita Alvarez, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm on the hot seat now, right?
That's right. That's right. So, you know, it's interesting because today is yesterday you announced that you were going to prosecute four police officers for perjury. Tell us first about that case. And then I want to talk to you about how difficult it is to prosecute police officers. But tell us about the case to begin with.
I'll limit it as to what I could say about the case because it's a pending case now. But what we proffered in court were these officers. There were three Chicago police officers and one Glenview police officer. It was an operation that really was a Chicago operation. And it was the sale of marijuana that brought him out there to Glenview. And basically what occurred is that the officers testified. One testified at the preliminary hearing. And he also testified, and the others testified at the motion to quash the arrest, at which point the defense attorney produced a video from a squad car cam off of the Glenview police officer's squad car, which directly impeached the officer's testimony, all of them. And as a result, the judge made a finding in that motion to quash arrest that the officers were not truthful and that, you know, she obviously dismissed the case, but we're faced with the fact that we have sworn testimony under oath. And we have a video that completely contradicts that.
How important is that? Because, you know, it's not easy. You know, how often does it happen for police officers to be in that kind of situation where they perjure themselves? I mean, they always talk about police officers protecting themselves, even to the point of covering up things. How hard is it for you to prosecute police officers with a perjury charge?
It's always difficult to prosecute police officers for a variety of reasons. As I said yesterday, it's not a happy day. It's not a good day when you have to announce criminal charges against police officers. I have the utmost respect for the job that they do. The majority of them, 99.9% of them, are doing the right thing, and they're not going to court and they're not lying. But you are faced, and I am faced in this position. You're going to be given fact patterns like we saw yesterday. It's difficult. All of our witnesses, we expect truthful testimony. Obviously, as prosecutors, we can't put on false evidence. We can't suborn perjury. So it's difficult. And since police officers are our witnesses each and every day in the courthouses, mm-hmm. we expect them to be truthful. We expect every witness to be truthful. So it's difficult because now you have to go into court and prosecute an officer, someone who has taken an oath to follow the law and who, you know, has for the most part been doing his job. And now you're faced with a criminal charge, and it's not an easy position to be in. No, it's not.
You've had a sort of a pass with that because you have been in the state's attorney's office since 1986. I mean, it's well documented, the state's attorney's role. I wouldn't say role, but sort of just involvement in the Burge cases about, you know, whether or not to prosecute John Burge, whether or not to move forward. A lot of critics would say that, you know, you guys were protecting the police in some cases. So it's a hard job for the prosecutor, and talk about that because, you know, whether it be John Burge or whether it be just recently with Dante Servant, it always feels like, you know, critics will point out that the prosecutors are on the side of the police, and it really you have to go, like, you know, much, much further to prosecute a police officer.
Right. You know, there's always going to be critics on either side. No matter what decision I make, someone's going to be happy, somebody's not going to be happy. So the critics will always be there. I think what's important is that, you know, when you are faced with in a position that you're going to have to charge a police officer again, you have to look at it as, you know, they overstepped that line. and committed a crime. And just like you would to a citizen who has committed a crime, you have to just kind of step back and look at it that way. You know, I have been in this office a long time. I think the office has changed tremendously since when I was a young assistant state's attorney in the trenches trying cases. I think what we see and what I'm proud of is that, you know, we are more proactive when it comes to looking at corruption, be it political corruption, be it corruption within, you know, the police department. You know, we do things that we didn't do back then. There are certain things that help us do that. You know, I think, you know, the videotaping of interrogations is tremendous because not only does it protect the accused, it also protects the officer from false complaints, because we see that as well, too. We see false complaints against officers. So the videotaping, which didn't exist back in 1986, has been a great tool for us. The fact that, you know, I created a conviction integrity unit. So we are proactively looking at these old cases, you know, cases that occurred well before even I got out of law school. And, you know, with the advancement of forensics and DNA that certainly wasn't there 30 years ago, it allows us to go back, proactively look at these cases, see whether or not we have a situation where there's a questionable conviction or a wrongfully convicted offender. So I think, you know, obviously the office has changed, you know, greatly since it's also
an office that we're seeing in other major cities. I mean, we see in you know, Baltimore, you see even in Ferguson County, how the state's attorney's office, the prosecutor's office seems to have to be ready for anything. Is Chicago ready for if something like what happened in Baltimore with Freddie Gray, or something that happened in Ferguson County? Is Chicago ready for that? Is your office ready for something that could be that when it comes to police misconduct?
I think we are ready for it. You know, when we investigate and look at these types of cases, we don't do it haphazardly. Oh, you know, these cases, you know, when you look at a police case where there's the police officer is the target, it's much more complicated and complex than looking at a case where one gang member shoots at another.
Right,
okay.
Right.
There is so much more involved in a police shooting. So I think what's so important for the prosecutor, be it me or anybody else in any other county, that, you know, you have to take your time with those cases. You really do. You have to take your time. You have to know the use of force model. You have to know what officers are trained. You have to understand every police department's rules and regulations. There's all these other legal issues that come up about compelled statements and from officers. All these things come into play that you don't see on a case where, for example, mm-hmm. you know, some gang member shoots another on the street. That doesn't exist. So you have to take your time. You have to make sure that you understand all the other complexities of the police procedure. And so, you know, sometimes people might be critical of why did it take so long? Well, it takes long because we want to make sure that we're going to do the right thing. You know, last thing we want to do, whether it's a civilian or a police officer, is to overcharge or to charge the wrong person.
Right. Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez is with us here on The Download. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Cook County Jail, about your change in philosophy with prosecutions, whether it be low-level drug cases, prostitution, other things that you've been involved with at the county level. This is a download on WGN. Stay with us. Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock. We're continuing our conversation with State's Attorney Anita Alvarez, who's in studio with us. You know, there was an Atlantic piece today about pointing out what we talked to Sheriff Tom Dart about last week, what a lot of Chicago media has already talked about, but the idea that the biggest mental health facility in the county is the Cook County Jail. Talk about that, because, you know, you've worked with the sheriff to sort of think about how to not necessarily lessen, but reshape jail population. Talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Sheriff Dart, Judge Evans, and myself and the public defender, we've been meeting regularly to see what we can do to help alleviate, you know, any overcrowding. You know, right now, the jail numbers are down. They're approximately 7,500. So they're down, although in summertime we may see a little bit of a spike. But, you know, I think Sheriff Dart is accurate when he says there are many people there who do have mental health issues. I think part of the problems that we see is not enough services to get them. You know, they should be getting the services that they need, but we don't necessarily see that they're available for them even before they get into the system. You know, especially with all the cuts coming from the state and with social services, these people don't have the ability to get the treatment that they really need. What I've done, you know, we do have a mental health court that didn't exist before, and the whole purpose of that is trying to get people some help instead of going through the system.
But I mean, at the end of the day, you're a prosecutor. I mean, your job is to follow the letter of the law and prosecute the law. It's amazing to me how much prosecutions have changed over the years, because now you're using context, you're using sort of the idea that, well, not everybody is the same, you know, that's coming through our shop. Someone may have come here because of a mental illness, and someone may have come here, right, may have stole that bread because they were hungry, essentially.
Right.
How much does your conscience and that play into the decisions you have to make as the person who sets out the policy and strategy for the county?
Right. Well, you know, the role of the prosecutor isn't just to, you know, get convictions. That is not the role of the prosecutor. It's to see that justice is done. And sometimes
you don't get a bonus if there's more.
No, there isn't. No bonuses. You know, but and sometimes justice is, you know, you look at that case, you analyze it, you talk to the victim, and maybe the best thing for everyone, the victim, the defendant, and society, is that this case gets diverted out and let the defendant go through a diversion program and complete it successfully and dismiss the charges. And I started my deferred prosecution program several years ago now, and it's running great. And that is for low-level offenses, non-violent offenses. And the whole concept was, this never existed on the adult side. When I ran for state's attorney the first time back in 2007, we didn't have any kind. The only diversion program that was out there was drug school.
Right.
So obviously you had to get arrested
and
for
you've
drugs.
And you've been in the system, I mean, as an ASA since 1986. I mean, mm-hmm. You've seen how justice and justice system and on your side change.
Absolutely. And
there's no way in 1986 they're talking about low-level drug offenses not going
to
jail.
No, not at all. And so I think what's great is that we are looking at this under a different light. And, you know, having our diversion program up and running on the adult side, we've got a tremendous success rate from the people who have gone through my diversion program. And that's why just several weeks ago, I announced my latest one, and that is a drug diversion program.
Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge, I mean, that got huge headlines, the idea that that you were not going to be prosecuting low-level drug cases and,
right,
and mostly marijuana, which is and talk about that, because that was that something that you feel politically was a good move for you because the tide has changed in terms of how people look at the drug? Or was it sort of a bottom line saying, we're getting a lot of these and it's filling up the system and we can't handle it?
You know, I because of the experience that I have, I've been in those courtrooms and I have just kind of gone and experienced cases coming in and coming in and coming in and just going through the system and rotating in and rotating back out and rotating back in. You know, there's, you know, there, unfortunately, we see the violence and we're going to have those hardened criminals. But we've also seen those people who do come in through the system who are not big drug dealers. We're not talking about big drug dealers here or large amounts of drugs. We're talking about those people who do have a problem, who do have an addiction, who get a case and then they come through, get probation, then they violate that and now they're back. So when we looked at how many of those cases, 10,000 out of the 40,000 felony cases we saw last year were low-level drug offenses. So what are we doing? You know, we're just shuffling mm-hmm. these people in and out, in and out. Wouldn't it be better to try to get them the services that they need, get them help? Mm-hmm. You know, are we going to be able to help everybody and cure them? No, but we'll be able to have have some success stories if we get people into a treatment program so they don't come back and shuffle through the system.
Do you get pushback from law enforcement on that? Do you get pushback from even people who represent law enforcement, unions and things like that, saying, why are you making our job harder? Why we're trying to lock up the bad guys?
You know, no, we haven't gotten any pushback from law enforcement, and we've sat down with everyone, not just Chicago. You know, obviously the majority of my cases are Chicago police cases, but all the suburban municipalities that Cook County encompasses, and we've gotten no pushback. They understand it. You know, they are still going to do their job. We're not impeding their job. But we're going to, you know, on our end, we're going to look at those cases. We're going to identify the people at the first point that they come into the system, which is bond court. So hopefully then if they're going to get the I bond, so they're not going to be in the jail, and then get the social service providers to get them in a program. So no, we've gotten no pushback. I think everybody agrees, you know, if we can, you know, be smarter on crime and divert those at that level, use our resources to go after the violent criminal that unfortunately we still see. And that's the whole concept behind it.
You know, I wish I had 3 hours. I wish the whole show was just talking with you. Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez, as we wrap up the interview, you are running for re-election.
I am.
You know, there's been a lot in the media just about sort of where alliances are going to line up in terms of, you know, who supports you, who doesn't. Mm-hmm. Are you expecting a traditional support from the sort of quote-unquote Democratic machine who comes out to support you, or do you feel like, you know, that may go to a different candidate?
You know, I am going to run on my record. And, you know, I mean, to me, the biggest endorsement is the endorsement of the citizens of Cook County. You know, I'm very proud to be the state's attorney. And I plan to do this job as long as I can.
You've done this job for 30. I mean, you've been in the office for 30 years. Do something else. Be a comptroller. You can be like comptroller, you know? Did you ever get sick of being in the prosecutor's office?
Can I be the manager of the White Sox? What do you think about that?
They may be looking for one soon. Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez here on The Download. Thank you so much for coming in studio, and we hope you come back. And I want to talk about we didn't get a chance to talk about the human trafficking stuff, your strategy on prostitution. But we'll have you back, and we can talk more about that.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.